Who's got it better than us?
No! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob and 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday every week here on The Zone. This next week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Neil Young at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on July 29th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. This has got to be the first time he's toured in a while, yeah, or at least come here in a while. Neil Young's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I pay attention enough to that kind of concert scene. I don't think he's been here. I could be wrong, but that's a big deal. Go see Neil Young.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Absolutely.
All right. Joining us now, she covers the Utes for KSLSports.com, and she jumps on with us on Fridays. Not to mention, she does a little thing called the Saturday Show on Saturdays. The one and only Michelle Bodkin. What's up, Michelle?
Oh, you know, just enjoying... kind of a gloomy Friday, but we're still enjoying it.
Things are slowing down a little bit. I know baseball's picking up. I know softball's picking up for Utah Athletics. But there was still basketball news this week with Chris Burgess leaving. DeMarlo Slocum has left, even though I haven't seen that finalized. Maybe I just missed it. But where is the Utah basketball program after what has transpired this week?
I think things look a little dire for him at the moment. You have five open roster spots. Obviously, along with the Burgess news, we had Cave Ikeda enter the transfer portal. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, only two transfers in and several out, including some of the guys that you really wanted to, needed to keep. So, and then you add the coaching exits, and it does. It feels a little bleak. Craig Smith has his work cut out for him. He has a lot of things he needs to figure out now between filling two assistant coach spots and bringing in guys that can replace the talent that's left the building. Can he do it? I don't know, but time's certainly ticking. He's on the clock. Something's got to give. Things have to start happening for this program. And we'll just kind of see what, if anything, Craig Smith can pull together to make Utah basketball respectable when they move to the Big 12.
Do you have any idea why Utah was not able to retain Chris Burgess?
I think at the end of the day, money and probably job security is what it comes down to. I do think, you know, there's maybe some rumblings that the current coaching staff is kind of on the hot seat. I think this year's kind of do or die. You make the tournament or we'll probably start looking to find someone else to give this a go. And not that I think everything is entirely this coaching staff's fault. I think they were handed a pretty raw deal, kind of straddling the old way of doing things and now having to deal with NIL and figuring that out. And of course, Utah Athletics has been having to figure out how to get NIL up and going for them, at least as it currently runs. So there's just been a lot of challenges all the way around. It's quite frankly not a good time to not be good at especially football or men's basketball. And I think BYU understands a little bit the football end of it. It's tough to play catch up on that if you're not already kind of rolling established and good. And Utah is seeing that, I think, on the basketball end of things. So I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And like I said, it's kind of either sink or swim at this point in time.
So what I read from a lot of this, Michelle, is that they didn't give Chris Burgess enough money to stick around. They didn't give DeMarlo Slocum enough money to stick around. They're not paying these players to stick around because whereas some guys, and we've even seen at BYU, enter the transfer portal and it's just like, well, I'm actually just doing this as a negotiating tactic. And maybe Cave Ikeda comes back to Utah, but Davon Smith doesn't seem like there's any chance he's coming back. Raleigh Wooster's already gone. Like, it just seems like there's no investment in this program either, which screams to me not that there's not interest, but there's a lack of belief that it's worth investing in with this coaching staff. Am I crazy for feeling that way?
I don't think you're entirely crazy for feeling that way. I will say I think people are forgetting that there's a lot of things that Utah's having to think about and deal with. And so as much as I know it kills fans to hear this, basketball may not be the priority at the moment. And one example I'll give out is the athletic department is now in the process of having to hire broadcast talent, in-house broadcast talent, because the Pac-12 network has gone away. They're also in the process of having to figure out how to build their own broadcast studio. So, you know, there's things like that that are also on the docket that they're having to think about, that they're having to allocate money for. And it sucks. I get that, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of the old school fans, their fandom stems from great basketball. And so to see that program kind of wither at the moment is a tough call. But there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts. There's places where money has to be allocated to. And those things I mentioned, those are not cheap things. So it's just kind of, it's a bummer. It's a bummer, but it may be a case that Utah basketball has to be put on the back burner because you're not taking anything from a football team that's really rolling, right? I mean, that would just be stupid, especially since that's the thing that kind of is driving everything that we're seeing in college athletics at the moment anyway. So, you know, I think one way or another, whether it's that, whether it's they don't want to invest in this current staff, I think there is something to the idea that right now basketball just is not the priority for Utah athletics.
Michelle, now that spring football is well in the rearview mirror, and you've had a while to kind of crunch on it, what are some of the main things you're taking from this year in spring?
You know, I think this team is really, really deep. I think that's the thing that's really kind of floored me, impressed me, and I knew that, but having Kyle Ireland ask me to put together a 2025 possible draft picks article and kind of really go through the roster and look at who has to leave and then who potentially could leave with a good year. There are a lot of names on that list. This is a deep, deep roster. And so I think, you know, that bodes well for them. Hopefully the injuries stay at bay. It feels like kind of going back and listening to some of the audio I collected over spring from the coaching staff, that they're very pleased at where they're at. And now it's just a matter of filling in, not necessarily for depth, but just to bring in better talent, like talent that could take them to that next level. That's really what they're looking for. And so, you know, that's another thing I know fans have been a little bit antsy about. Why aren't we seeing transfers in? This is driving me crazy. This should be an obvious thing. Well, I don't think they're in a rush to fill spots. They want to take the absolute best talent available and bring it into the program.
Michelle, this might be a little more inside baseball than things we usually talk about, but Utah is switching from Learfield to JMI Sports. Do you know what effect that's going to have?
You know, at this point in time, I don't really know what effect that's going to have, and I'm not entirely sure what prompted that move either at this point in time. It just could be it's time for a change, and sometimes you need to have a shakeup in order to move forward. And we've seen that a lot of times with Utah athletics. It feels like they're just very strategic in the way that they move. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us or it's a surprise to us, but it ultimately ends up working out for them. So I'm curious to see what changes happen under JMI versus Learfield, who they've used, I think, since they've been in the Pac-12. But it's a very interesting time for Utah athletics. Like I said, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of changes happening that I don't think people necessarily realize are actually happening.
Any thoughts to the end of the Red Rock season in gymnastics? And I watched, got my daughters and we watched the final, and what a heartbreaker in that last rotation, just leading going in. And that was too bad. They came up a little short.
Yeah, you know, I think that stings, right? You always hope and you always want your team to win. But at the end of the day, those girls went through a lot more than I think most people realize. It was a tough year. It was a really tough year. They had a lot of things thrown their way that honestly should not have been thrown their way. And for them to stick together and really galvanize and make a run at it the way that they did, I think is really impressive. I think it speaks to the character of those athletes. I think it speaks to the character of the remaining coaching staff after Tom Farden was ousted. And I think it speaks to what Carly Dockendorf is going to be able to bring to the program as the head coach. There's a lot of work ahead, you know, in order to kind of continue pushing this thing forward. But I think fans should feel hopeful and pleased with the result.
Michelle, you rock. We hear there's a very exciting edition of the Saturday show coming up tomorrow. All women on the Saturday show tomorrow?
All women on the Saturday show tomorrow, and then we have two guests coming on, so it'll be fun.
Wow. All right. We'll be tuned in, Michelle. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michelle.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Michelle Botkin, our producer, Sarah, going to be involved in the Saturday show tomorrow, too, so she's one of those women.
Congratulations. That'll be exciting. Looking at Utah. Yeah, I mean, and they understand this. Mark Harlan understands. You got to be able to do multiple things at once. So maybe you have to build a broadcast studio. Maybe you have to hire a team. Maybe you have to all this stuff. Either you believe in your basketball coach or you don't. And I've not seen anything that says they believe in their basketball coach.
So Ben,
they
I'm...
can say it. The actions have never mirrored that.
So Witt the other day did another...
I shouldn't say never. Haven't recently mirrored that.
So Witt the other day did another sales ad for the collective. You know, I was thinking about this Burgess thing and then, you know, thinking about what Michelle's talking about there. You were talking about, well, you got to pay the money. So Utah was at an advantage in the Pac-12 from this sense, Ben, that they were used to making a dollar out of a dime forever, getting the most out of every, you know, nickel that would come in the door. And they were really good at that. And then all of a sudden they're on the same financial footing as the other, you know, quote unquote P5 or whatever. And they were they kept their habits that made them good. And then they got more money. They invested in the right places. They didn't invest in other places that would have been foolish to kind of jump on and expand the stadium right away when the money's not even in the door. They started by building facilities and things like that. And anyway, they were really good at focusing on the right things financially. Like they had the biggest recruiting budget in the league there for a couple of years because they weren't swimming in a mountain of debt like Cal or UCLA. And they were really good at that. Well, that never meant that they had more fans or financial booster support. They were really good at taking care of the money that was coming in the door. That was their advantage in the Pac-12, is it almost negated some of that other stuff, right? Well, now that all the booster stuff and all that is all legal, Utah might be at a real financial disadvantage because there's not any more Ute fans than there were. I mean, there are more than there were 10 years ago, you know, Ben, but not like exponentially more. I mean, it's never been... Like having huge booster support has never been their thing. There's just not that many huge boosters from the University of Utah. And now that you're relying on them to fund everything, they might be at a disadvantage on that standpoint.
The Garfs have certainly stepped up, put a lot of money
into
it.
There are some, but compared to
the
USC...
Eccles have stepped up. No, of course, no, you're not going to compete with them. I mean, you're not going to compete with the...
But look at the Big 12 schools with all these things. Like, Oklahoma State is swimming in dough.
Yeah, I mean, there's oil money. There's all kinds of
Kansas,
Texas money. Yeah, it's crazy.
Swimming in dough. Baylor, swimming in dough. Utah's never been that.
No, they're going to have to be more selective with where they put this money, or they're going to have to get more donors to step up. And, you know, Utah is growing. The problem is I don't think a lot of these – where Utah is growing, I don't think the money funnels to the University of Utah. And by the way, that doesn't mean it funnels to BYU. Some of it will. We can already see it with Ryan Smith. He's a big donor. Does a lot there. I don't know if that tech boom that we're getting right now was going to end up with more money at Utah. Some of it will. I certainly don't expect them to have somebody step up and be their sweetheart the way the Garfs have and the Eccles before that. Though that's really kind of been the two places where Utah's been able to go consistently. So you're right. They are going to have to learn how to compete in that environment. It's going to have to continue to change. Now, you got to have good culture, and you've basically got to be able to match the standard. I don't know if they're going to be able to pay above asking price compared to a lot of these schools.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if that's possible. I mean,
you won't be able to do it across every sport. If you want to focus it on just football, I imagine Utah will figure out how to do it.
BYU isn't hiring this coaching staff because they're nickel and diming their everyday fans.
No.
I don't know how much of an ability to do that Utah has. And BYU's not as capable of it as other fan bases out there. I mean, there are so many Kansas fans.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Baylor doesn't have any fans, but all their fans are worth $1 billion.
Now, a lot of their money goes to basketball. Again, I think even they have to be selective. You know?
So.
They if they had more money, they would have fired their coach already. I mean, Dave Aranda would have been out.
I think other schools will be in a similar position. But Utah was really good about spending that money that was coming in the door. Now that it's about booster support, that's never been their cup of tea. And I don't know if they can compete in the way that you're talking about, Ben. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I don't think Utah is going to be the type of school that can just be like, well, pay these guys. Just pay them. Whatever it takes. Just match whatever. I don't think they're going to be able to do that in either sport.
I think they'll be able to do it in football. I think that interest is there. I think they're at an all-time high still. You have more money coming in from organizations like the Garfs than ever before. You know, building an entire end of the stadium.
But Witt's begging people for...
Sure. I mean, every coach is. That's not unique to Witt. That's every coach in
Has Kalani
everywhere.
Done one of those?
An ad asking for money? I don't know what's allowed
collective?
In every program. I don't know how everyone does it. Everybody's asking for money. How they do it is probably different.
I'm saying, who are you asking? That's exactly what I'm saying. Who are you asking for money? I mean, BYU didn't have to do a giant fundraising campaign to pay these basketball coaches these salaries.
I'm not going to compare the way BYU does things to any other school.
And maybe that's fair, except for a lot of other schools out there have these big, huge donors that just write blank checks for whatever.
They do.
That's never been Utah. I don't think it's going to be.
No, it's going to be on the Eccles and the Garfs to continue to step up. I mean, that's who has done it recently. And, you know, you got the truck thing going on over the last year, and that's been a big part of it. We'll see if they keep doing that. We'll see who's willing to continue to step up. Yeah, you've got to continue to mine that. You've got to continue to find it. I don't think they're showing a willingness to do it with basketball. They have not seemed to have an issue doing it with football. They get people in the transfer portal. They must be paying them. They got Cam Rising to come back. They must be paying him.
Yeah, but you can pay one guy. I mean, you heard Michelle. They don't have the money. Michelle all but said it. I mean, he said it in a really nice way, like, oh, well, they've got to invest in TV studios and stuff. But she said they don't. She said that. They don't have it.
Yeah.
And what they do have is going to a quarterback. And the truck thing is cute, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're talking about writing big-time checks, which is what it takes to keep, let alone land, players now.
Yeah. They're certainly not doing it for basketball. I've not seen any evidence that they're not doing it for football. They're coming back next year as the best team in the Big 12. So they're doing something right.
Yeah.
And they've kept the top 15 quarterback around, who probably had a $2 million offer to go somewhere else, each of the last 2 years, I would imagine. I don't know exactly what that number is, but what does a starting quarterback cost? It's got to be seven figures.
Yeah, but what percentage?
If Davon Smith is $600,000, $750,000 to be a good but not great starting point guard in college basketball, a top 10 quarterback in the country is going to be seven figures easily.
Yeah,
but Utah's found a way to keep him around, and they found a way to keep Brant Keithy around.
There are Ute fans, yes, but what I'm saying is what percentage of their budget goes to that $2 million?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know.
I bet it's a lot bigger than most of the rest of the Big 12.
Might be. It's going to be hard, yeah. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy for schools that don't have that type of history to compete. And again, like I've said several times, the Garfs and the Eccles are going to have to continue to step up because, yeah, I don't think that tech money is going to Utah. That's where the money's coming into the state, and I don't think it's getting funneled to that program. So they're going to have to continue to find those people.
Stay tuned. We'll have Tim McComb is going to join the show. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, I'm 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you to nominate the sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union.
Do you think this current format with NIL is here to stay? Or do you think they will find a way to rein it in and regulate it?
Man, is that ever a complicated question. I got to say, I think it's here to stay, at least for the short term. You know, I mean, when by short term, I say 5 to 10 years at least.
Huh. Yeah, that's going to separate out some winners and some losers based purely on finances.
You know why? And this is cynical me. Because the only thing that would rein it in is federal legislation, and that would require bipartisan people to come up with a solution. And that's not how our government works at the moment, where politicians are punished for even thinking about siding with the other side or cooperating with the other side or anything of the sort, where all votes and legislation passed are now passed like just through majorities, you know, partisan majorities or whatever. Like, I don't see enough legislators getting on the same page in order to pass something that would do this. But the NCAA is toothless, so they can't regulate anything. They used to be able to regulate things, but they can't regulate anything anymore. We've seen what happens when it's left to the states, where some states do something about it.
Yeah.
Some states haven't. I don't think the state of Utah hasn't done anything about it, right? They haven't put in any sort of guideline. And so, no, I don't think anything's going to happen. I think this is it. I think action happened with no plan and no sort of thought to the consequence. I think, well, you're talking to me. I think people created a problem that didn't exist, and the solution is worse than the problem before. But, hey, nobody listens to me.
This is from
Yahoo
Sports.
I don't think this is going anywhere anytime soon.
College leaders and plaintiff lawyers in negotiations now for months are inching closer to arriving at an agreement to settle the House antitrust lawsuit and usher into a sport a new model that features sharing revenue with athletes. Any settlement of the case comes in two parts. Compensation owed to college athletes for universities using their name, image, and likeness in broadcasts. And two, a future compensation model featuring revenue sharing with athletes. If you can get to a spot where you can have revenue sharing with athletes, I imagine you would get them to sign a contract. And if you can get them to sign a contract, you could probably put in those contracts that they are no longer allowed to negotiate outside of their name, image, and likeness belonging to the university. They would push for that, I would imagine. The question is, would the players agree to that? The problem with these players is they do not have a players union, and so they have all operated with their own interests over and over, and they're not collectively bargaining, which if they wanted to get this done right, they should have done it a long time ago.
Why would they want to get it done at all?
Yeah, maybe the players won't. Well, the players want this money that's owed to them now, and the NCAA will try and use that as leverage to settle to get something that they want.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I'm not.
Joining us now, of course, longtime college coach. He's my co-host for Jazz Pre, Half, and Post. And, of course, Ben, he's our good friend, the coach, Tim Lacombe. What's going on, coach?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing well. Hey, before we get to the NBA, which I want to talk about, what were your thoughts on the Chris Burgess move? I haven't heard your opinions yet.
You know, I think it was obviously a really good move for BYU, a tough one for Utah. I think it, you know, probably has as much to do with the opportunity at BYU as anything. I know Chris really well, and I can imagine it was difficult because he loves Utah, played there. But this time right now, I mean, there seems to be this major excitement around what's going on at BYU. I think the purse strings have opened up, you know, with the Big 12. And so they're kind of positioning themselves to, you know, kind of enter a new chapter of BYU basketball. And And it just is something that I think Chris, when presented with and all that came with it, just couldn't turn it down.
What do you think about the reign of Kevin Young thus far, as young as it is?
He's done a really good job. I mean, to consider the first probably 10 days he's in the middle of the playoffs. You know, I understand he was coming back and forth. You know, he's working all night long, calling guys on his way to games. So, I mean, he handled that difficulty well. And then the byproduct of that was bringing back two really, you know, important guys in Hall and Saunders, you know, really trying to keep a big part of the nucleus together. And then, you know, I think they've done a great job just identifying guys that are out there that they can bring in. And obviously the coaching positions, they brought in Doug Stewart as chief of staff, who's a longtime coach, been a lot of different places, Brandon Dunston, and then obviously Burge is on staff right now. So there's still some things that need to be solidified, but I would say that things seem to be trending in the right direction.
Switching over to basketball, what surprised you from the opening round of the playoffs? A lot of high salary teams already eliminated before getting to even the quarterfinals.
Yeah, you know, I think it's signifying a little bit of a changing of the guard. We've sat and watched the European influence, spacing, 3-point shots, you know, volume 3-point shots, really using that as a weapon. And then just the fact that five guys are better than, you know, three guys. And I think that's what this new age is looking like. The Denver Lakers series reminded me, it was almost like a clash of styles with the old guard, you know, kind of a 90s, early 2000s approach. And now where the game is gone, but it does my heart well. I think this is what the game was meant to be and intended to be. And certainly stars are important, but I think you see the makeup of a team from, you know, the very first guy to the last guy, and how everybody kind of step in and help. You know, Buddy Hield last night had a crazy game. Obviously, it kind of short-armed that last one, got it off a little quick. But a guy like that, you know, it's a weapon you can bring off the bench when guys aren't playing well, when Maxie's having a hard night. So I think that the depth of your roster, the versatility of it is really, really important in today's NBA.
Does our guy Rudy have a chance against the Nuggets?
I think he does. I mean, I think they were probably, if you want to ask my biggest surprise, is just the way they dominated, you know. I think they've got bad intentions right now, and Anthony Edwards is coming of age. You know, I know it's been on the rise, but when a guy gets his first series win like that and gets that confidence and kind of that swagger, man, it's look out. And I think Minnesota is one of those teams like I'm talking about. I think they have done a great job, you know, in a very difficult situation last year, just flipping the script and making everybody valuable and important on that team. And you can go down the list. And Conley's been playing great. McDaniels has been playing great. Obviously, I talked about Edwards. Gobert, you know, it is interesting when there are guys that can kind of keep dudes in front of them. Rudy is a little bit more effective in the playoffs and is not being played off the floor. So I really am liking Minnesota. Denver is the king until proven otherwise, but that is going to be one whale of a series.
Looking at what's going on with the Cavaliers and the Magic, there's a chance for the Cavs to wrap that up tonight, though they have just not played well at all on the road. What do you see going on in Cleveland? What do you make of their future? I kind of think, regardless, even if they get out of this series, I'm not sure it answers anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. It seems like a team that is kind of only partly serious a lot of the time. Just watching them guard on defense, you know, seeing some of the kind of the lapses and guys standing around. You know, I think Donovan has, you know, it's an interesting kind of what I was just talking about, but you don't see Donovan like moving off the ball a lot and cutting off the ball a lot. I mean, most of his stuff is running toward the ball and calling for a screen or an ISO. And I think that probably hurts him, you know, but certainly not, you know, somebody's going to gobble him up and bring him in, but it won't be in Cleveland. I can't imagine he stays there. It just doesn't seem like there's that great of a bond. And I will not, in fact, I'm going to say it, Orlando's going to win tonight. I mean, because Cleveland is a little bit of a, they've got front runner syndrome. So when they're at home, they play a little better. And Orlando's hungry. So Orlando wins the game, the next one. And then, you know, I think it's flip a coin at that point. And maybe that young kind of crazy energy of Orlando will supersede the inexperience. But that's been a really fun series to watch for different reasons as well.
Let me ask you this question, because Ben had an interesting point about the Magic earlier in the week. If you could put a player on the Magic to make them immediately better, give me a name or give me a type of player, or what are they lacking?
Man, that's a great question. You got to love where Suggs has come to. I mean, I think there was a period of time where a lot of people thought he might be a bust, you know, but I think he's playing great basketball. Certainly has been, this group is really kind of unified. I'm trying to think what they need. Probably, oh man, throw Mitchell Robinson on their roster, you know, some kind of a big, strong guy or a what's our guy from Cleveland we love? Jared Allen, somebody like that. To kind of go with all the other things that they have. Pablo's really kind of starting to come into his own. He had an amazing game, but Ben pointed out, and I did as well, his understanding of the game late really showed its head. He took three just brutal shots in really bad possessions right there in the thick of the game, and that's stuff that hopefully, you know, will just come to him. But that Orlando team is going to be good for a long time. And, you know, a couple of additions, be fun to watch them through the years.
I think the playoffs probably couldn't have broken any better from what the Jazz were hoping for. Philly's out. Phoenix is out. Milwaukee's out. I guess Dallas is probably going to win, and maybe that was one of the other teams they would have hoped, just so maybe that you would shake up the NBA landscape and there'd be some movement. But I got to say, I know Joel's not going to ask out. I think he's really happy to be there with Tyrese Maxey. I don't know if Milwaukee's there yet, and the injuries being the cause of doubt of why they lost that first-round series probably keeps that team together for another year. I don't know if we see a ton of player movement this offseason, and if there is, it's Donovan Mitchell, and I don't think the Jazz can get involved for obvious reasons.
Yeah. It's the intrigue of the offseason. I think that's the always kind of burning behind the scenes, and it's exciting because it is one of those windows of opportunity. You speak of Phoenix. They don't have a whole lot of windows of opportunity. They're pretty landlocked. And it surprises me all the time how really smart people that make crazy amount of money think they can just come into a game that is so complex and complicated and swing for the fences in their first crack. And then not have the humility to say, we screwed up, you know. I was flabbergasted watching Ishbia the other day and kind of, you know, followed a little bit about him since. And, man, it makes me grateful for the ownership group we have. They let the basketball people be basketball people. And I think we have the best basketball people, you know, in the league. So whatever happens, Ben, whatever transpires, the Jazz will be ready to hop on it. I know they've got their eyes set on certain people that – if they came available, it would be a no-brainer. So that's what we get to go into here now, that and the draft, obviously assessing all these young guys coming in. Roll out Summer League and off we go again.
Tim, you are the best. Thank you, as always, for jumping on with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Great to talk to you guys, man. It's great to hear your voice. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. That's our friend Tim Lacombe, the coach.
I don't see a lot of movement, which, again, I'm not trying to, the Jazz want Lauri Markkanen back. The funny thing is, if not a lot of players move and a lot of teams want players to move, you've got a scarce resource and a higher asking price. I mean, that's just kind of how the market works. So if there are teams that want to get better and the Jazz have pieces that are tradable and the Jazz are saying, well, doesn't matter if we bring back most of the team or none of the team next year, you're probably in the same spot. You're still probably 3 or 4 or 5 years away from this team competing for a title, maybe they flip the expectations on their head, you know, and that doesn't mean trading Lowry. There's a lot of players on this team they could move and try and get better.
Draft Bronny, man.
Draft Bronny. LeBron's going to opt out.
Draft Bronny number 8.
They will have be able to use cap space and a trade, and they'll re-sign LeBron.
You know the rumor that the Clutch folks are throwing out there? I say Clutch folks because, you know, when certain media members talk, you know where it's coming from. That they're going to do a 3-year, $160 million deal.
For LeBron?
For LeBron.
Maybe. I mean, they'll give him whatever he asks for.
The third year won't be guaranteed, but.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the second year and third year, yeah, have partial guarantees or LeBron options or however you can do it to make it as advantageous as possible for LeBron, of course. Yeah, I mean, he's still very good is the crazy thing.
Well, he still has resources to burn in LA. Yeah. You got to, LeBron's goal is to leave the franchise resources.
With nothing.
With nothing.
Yep.
Just dead on the vine.
Yeah. They've got 3 first-round picks.
To burn on Trae Young.
And Rui Hachimura or Austin Reeves, I mean, guys that are tradable. And 3 first-round picks. They can make salaries match, and they will be very aggressive. Philly's going to be very aggressive this summer. I'll be curious.
LeBron probably watched Buddy Hield have a good game last night. Be like, max out, Buddy.
Hey, I wrote the article yesterday on his podcast with J.J. Redick, which is why everyone thinks J.J. is going to be the next head coach of the Lakers. LeBron talked about how much he loves Lauri Markkanen. Loves Lauri. Talk about plays that the Jazz run that mirror what Klay Thompson does with the Warriors. And
yeah,
LeBron loved him, but you know why he loved him? Because Lauri used to wear his shoes, and he mentioned that also.
Yeah, well, and Lauri can shoot, and they need shooting on that
team. Oh, Lauri would be a great fit.
They've needed shooting on that team since LeBron got there. They've never addressed that problem.
No. Nope.
LeBron's never even thought it was a problem. Give me Rusty Westbrook immediately.
Man, they're going to end up with something goofy like Tobias Harris or something.
They're in so much trouble. They should move off LeBron now. Let him go. If he opts out, be like, oh, thank goodness. And then trade Anthony Davis right behind him. And you're L.A. You're not Utah. You landing a star, your next star is not if, but when.
Yeah, but when, and then you have all the resources.
Right.
Yep.
So why would you give
By the way, is how they built a title around LeBron. They had all these young players. They got LeBron to sign there. And then
he used all
their resources to go and get Anthony Davis, and they won a title.
Kind of.
You can do that. They could do that again.
No, I don't think they can do that again because I don't think that they can create a pandemic that's going to give them 3 months off going into the playoffs again.
They can rebuild the team the way they rebuilt their team.
But the call that if this Laker team had 3 months off going into the playoffs and everybody was rested, they would have had a better run at it because they're old.
Yeah, they're old.
And brittle. So, no, I don't think they can repeat that.
No, not winning the title that way, building the team that way. But, they had a bunch of assets. They let everybody go. They got a bunch of second round or number 2 overall picks, number 5 overall picks.
I'm getting lost in the weeds.
Get a star to sign, and then you trade all the young players to build around that star. They could do that same thing again. Which, again, is why they should move off of LeBron if they can. Trade Anthony Davis if they can. I know they won't, but.
They just call whatever star's agent they want and say, ask out of wherever you are, and then you get that player.
It's
tried and true. It's
and
not hard.
Players will do it because you're right. It's the Lakers.
So why would you be so beholden to somebody? I don't get that. They've been run horribly.
Lack of creativity.
Since the old man died, I'm telling you. I don't know if the Lakers get back to being the Lakers. And the sad part is that one Mickey Mouse title gives them the crutch to be like, see, it worked. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think it did. I don't know.
They can ride that for a long time, and they will. Teams do that. Boston's still riding Danny Ainge's title in 2008.
But that was a legitimate title.
Sure. It was 16 years ago now, right? When did that happen? It was forever ago.
But they didn't do it at Walt Disney World, correct?
Correct. They won in Boston.
Okay. Just checking. Stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense the urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two amigos on the airways, talking sports. They got him and Jake's and on soul. Loves his tie guy, Ben's got style with his scarves. Oh my.
Jacob Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up a Friday show. This segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. I wish I were Britney Spears in this way, Ben. It'd be just nice to take, like, have enough dough that you can take bi-monthly trips to the south of France on private jets.
Yeah.
And also mix in every month taking a trip to Hawaii and staying at a Four Seasons, because that's apparently her routine. I want that kind of dough.
I don't know why I would trade lives with Britney Spears right now.
That's not the argument I'm making.
Yeah.
But being able to just...
The financial freedom, sure.
Private jet it to the south of France or whatever. Absolutely. And just be like, I'm gonna kick it here. Apparently each one of those trips costs her $1 million.
Well,
the Hawaii trips cost her $350,000. So we're talking like if you divided up, her monthly vacation budget is like $800,000 or something.
She, I'm sure, has a ton of money. Nobody has infinite money, you know? And if she's not actively putting out more work, she's not still doing her Vegas thing, right? So I would hope that doesn't run dry. I mean,
she's getting
streets are littered
like
with
2 cents an airplay, right?
Maybe for every 1,000 airplays.
Yeah, that's a big thing, right? The musicians aren't making anything from streaming and they're kind of bent about it.
So I would,
or very little.
I would hope she's invested wisely and has enough money to do that. You know, I recognize the conservatorship she was under sounded tough and was not what people wanted, but we don't know everything going on behind the scenes with people's lives. And why, well, people are placed in conservatorships in the first place.
In front of the scenes, I know she's hopping on a private jet and going to the South of France every 2 months.
Sounds fun.
That sounds pretty freaking sweet.
Sounds like a party.
And then, you know, my little bee vacation is just bouncing over to Waikiki and State of the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
That's when I don't want to blow it out, you know?
She'd probably just move there instead of living in L.A. or wherever
she is. I'm driving to Vegas over Memorial Day. Why aren't I flying to the south of France?
Do it.
Apparently, I'm a sucker.
Wonder if she'll be there for the Olympics.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Hanson, Scotty G are coming up next. Ben, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.